Hello and welcome to the By The Man NMFC podcast. Tonight, Derek Watson joins regulars Jane Buster. Derek, welcome along, mate.
Thanks for having us again, Andy. Good to be on.
No worries at all. Well, we're back and we're depressed as usual, to be honest. 1-0 defeat to Dundee on Saturday leaves the club rock bottom of the Scottish Premier League. Jay, I suppose we saw it coming, didn't we?
I don't know, did we? I mean, we've been poor, but, you know, it's the realisation that you're actually bottom now, I think, is still, you know, you kind of really prepare for that. You kind of always expect that, I mean, you turn up with sort of false hope and expect that you're going to grind out a result, or this week's the week that everything's going to click, or you're just hoping results go for you elsewhere. But yeah, it's all falling to pieces. And you can't really look at the table and say that we don't deserve to be bottom of the league. I think if you go into message boards like Pine Bovril, you know, the kind of forums where there's teams from all, fans from all teams, you can see that just about every supporter in the division seems to think that Motherwell are easily the worst team they've seen this season. And I don't think we can, you know, like be too surprised that we're pretty much in our rightful place now, I think.
Buster, I've been saying for quite a few weeks now that other teams seem to have that wee bit of fight that we lack. Ross County are one that I certainly believed had a bit more about them in terms of determination and just sheer grit. They've won two in the bounce now, one game against ourselves, albeit. But they seem to be in an upward spiral. St Mirren are contesting, with the exception of Saturday, close games and seem close to turning the corner. Whereas we're now 1 point from the last 24 under Ian Barraclough. It's relegation for them.
Well, you said it yourself. You know, did we see it coming? When you look back at the performances, never mind the results, the performances, there's not been any fight. So I think we've created something like less than 20 chances in the last 5 matches or something like that, which is absolutely atrocious. Even when you're at the game, you get that wee buzz before it and you're thinking, this could be the one, you know, this is going to be the one where we turn it around, but it never ever works like that, didn't it not?
No, certainly not. Derek, I didn't really feel that Dundee had to be anywhere near their best. I think it was the worst they've certainly played against us this season, but still won, and won comfortably. I think if they had to turn it up a gear, they possibly would have.
Oh, without a doubt, Andy. I mean, as you mentioned there, it didn't look as if they got out of second gear. I suppose one of the positives for me is they didn't put 4 or 5 passes this time, which makes a bit of a change. Although, saying that, The goal that they did get was very, very lucky, and I think, despite them being on top all game, they didn't look like scoring many other chances. It was a very, very flicky goal, and maybe that's just what we need, is a wee bit of luck rather than it go against us like it has been for the past 4, 5, 6 weeks, you know.
Yeah, well, I heard Ian Barraclough and Keith Lasley talking about that, the bemoaning the lack of luck, so to speak. But for me, you've got to actually be creating things to deserve that bit of luck. We got to be a bit of luck in getting back into the game against St Johnstone. We weren't able to carry on the momentum. It just seems like such a sinking ship, Jim. Please give us some optimism and tell me that everything's going to be all right, because I'm struggling tonight.
Sorry, can you do that? I'm exactly the same boat. I always try and be optimistic and positive about Motherwell, not to a happy clappy you know, level, but I've always been slightly put off by, you know, a lot of the more negative fans we've got. I remember reading an interview a couple of years ago with Tommy Coyne when he said that they came close to not joining Motherwell because it's known in Scottish football that Motherwell fans are notoriously fickle, was the phrase he used. So I always try and be a bit more positive, and at times I think I've probably stuck by managers and players longer than maybe your average fan because of that. But since Saturday, I've been, you know, stumbling about trying to find some sort of positive, and there's none that exist. You know, the lineup that we're putting out just doesn't really make much sense. You've got, I know Buster was mentioning it week after week on the podcast that Josh Law looked like our best right back, and I agree with him. He's also one of the few players who's put in a lot of effort the last few weeks and yet is now nowhere near the team. You know, you've got Anthony Straker at left back, who is apparently a football player. You've got the likes of Lang, who's came in, who, fair enough, he's apparently highly rated, but you're bringing him in as a new signing and dropping Fraser Kerr from the week before. You know, obviously, I'm not suggesting that Fraser Kerr's a great centre-half, but Lang doesn't appear to offer much, and yet you're dropping these guys. So, you know, if you're coming into a club that's already short on confidence, then you're not going to be doing a great service by dropping your younger players just, you know, a week on with no apparent reason. You know, going forward, just John Sutton, I feel sorry for Sutton. I think he's been poor this season, but I think he's been left out to dry because he's been stuck up front himself. He's not a lone striker in the slightest. You know, you've got Craig Moore, who finally gets a start and yet gets it in midfield. You know, there's no positives in the lineup. The players we've brought in, yes, they need time to settle, but they also need to show that they are going to improve the side. They need to hit the ground running because of the position we're in, and I don't think any of them have really done that, bar maybe Conor Grant, who looks half decent. But you know, there is no positives. There is still no motivation, no determination, a complete lack of interest, a complete lack of confidence. And it would be different if you were sitting here watching us lose games, watching us bottom of the league, but knowing that we were putting the effort in and we're battling away. And then you could say, and then you could agree with Keith Lasley that you just need that goal or that point or whatever to change things round. But we're not in that position. You know, it's not like the administration team of McFadden, Pearson, etc., where you were going along, you were watching Butcher put out his best team, you were watching a team of kids, you know, run their hearts out, battle away, and they just weren't good enough. That's not what's happening this season. We are just not interested. There is no fight. And when there's no fight, you know, there's nowhere you can go. It's not as though we can turn up next week and think, well, maybe this will be the week. Because if you're not doing anything, then you're not going to get any luck. You're not going to create any chances. You're not going to win any games. So there is nowhere to go at the moment. There is no progress being made. There is no positives to take from any game. And, yeah, if all four of us make it to the end of this podcast without one of us having hung ourselves, then I think we're on to a winner.
But I'm going to talk about Barraclough in a lot more depth a bit later on, but Derek, I don't want to single out individuals. It's, as Jay says, it's been the Achilles heel of Motherwell supporters at times, been overly critical, but I'm now going to do it. Anthony Straker, that's now two home appearances for the boy. Honestly, how did we find this guy? Have we actually watched him and believed that he was a footballer? He would struggle to get into a fives team, and honestly, we've got some poor players there as well.
Like yourself, Andy, I'm not a big one for singling out players. I missed his home debut, but I've certainly seen him against Ross County, and then I've seen him again on Saturday. He doesn't look very good, is the bottom line. The real criminal thing for me is not that he's playing, it's the fact that we've brought in a young player in Luke Watt, who's actually looked very, very steady. In fact, when he's come in and played, he played with confidence, despite him being very young. He's put in good performances every time that he's played for me, apart from the one at home. I can't remember who that one was against, but he was a wee bit out of touch, but he certainly looked good. And it's not just Straker, it's the other players that we've brought in as well, and as Jay mentioned, that they certainly need time to settle. The one negative for me with bringing in seven players, despite being very, very optimistic at the time when we did bring them in, saying that I didn't know much about them, but the one thing for me that stands out is when you bring in seven players, what message does that send out to the young players that you've been playing and that you've been trying to bring through your books? They're getting a bit of confidence, they're getting a bit of game time, and then all of a sudden they're popped onto the bench, you know, for these new guys that are coming in, when quite frankly, I don't know what the young players think or what any of the players think, but what would be crossing my mind is, are they really better than me? And the answer so far is they're not better than what we've got, and that's my opinion. I don't know if he's agreeing that or not, but that's certainly the way that I've taken it so far.
Well, yeah, just to pick up on that, that's one of the things I was sort of hinting at there. The idea is that Barraclough has came in. He's, you know, he talks a good game, he's really positive, but he's came into a side that, you know, obviously there was a few players that I just don't think wanted to be there. But the phrase that was always used was crisis of confidence. We've been told that, you know, there was a real void of confidence in the side. So to deal with that confidence by, you know, taking a few of the players who actually looked as though they had a bit of confidence, you know, Luke Watt, you know, Dom Thomas, you know, the younger guys sort of had that sort of swagger about them, the gallusness, and they looked like the players who did have a bit of confidence, whereas it was your more senior pros that seemed to be suffering for the confidence crisis. So to then sort of just dismiss these players or just drop them for no real reason and replace them with, you know, these players from down south or whoever else, then I've got to agree. I think that that's just, you know, it's almost going backwards. It's almost taking the few players who have a bit of confidence and shattering theirs too.
Yeah, but
One thing that it's really annoyed me, I think, is the 4-5-1 or the 4-2-3-1, however you want to describe it. John Sutton up front is clearly, it's not going to work if you punt the ball at him. He's not the most mobile. He's not going to run into the channels for you. And if he does run in there, he's going to be 15 seconds behind the right or left back. When we went to the pub on Saturday, and you seen that there was Erwin and Moore in there, well, with Johnson as well, another winger, you're thinking, maybe we're going to go, you know, maybe 2-3 up top here. And when I seen Moore was playing, you know, central attacking midfield or whatever it was he was playing, I was unsure. I'm still perplexed with it, to be honest with you. I don't even know what the thought in that was.
I think that's what causes some of the confidence problems as well. You've got young boys needing a chance. Lee Erwin, I thought, had a pretty decent game on Saturday, but it's clear that he needs a goal. He needs a wee bit of confidence. Craig Moore, coming back from a long-term injury, a few goals in the under-20s. He would have maybe got a few chances playing up top. And Saturday, instead, he's shoved into the midfield. Kind of got lost in the game due to that fact. There's certainly, I think in Moore and in Erwin, there's certainly a decent player in both of them. But if they're going to be played out of position, that's when the fans turn and some of the frustration comes out in them, and they could actually kill these young boys in terms of confidence because they're not being played in their natural roles. In fact, it would have possibly been easier to count the number that were playing in their natural roles on Saturday than those that weren't, because it was just a ridiculous lineup. Ridiculous.
I agree with you there. See, Erwin has played now sort of left wing, whatever, a couple of times this year, and to be fair, he's come into it a wee bit. You know, it's obviously no where he, I don't think where he would want to start and play, where he'd want to play and start, sorry, but as you says, there was a few people who I had read online on Twitter, whatever, saying Moore looked out of his depth, and again, as you said, I think that's because of where he was played and how deep he was played.
Yeah, it's just, I do understand that new manager, he's brought in his new faces, he's going to want to showcase these players, but I think he's really risked bringing these boys into the detriment of the younger players, many of whom have been playing very well. Another one, Derek, I want to pick up on is Dominic Thomas, who got a cameo again at the end, despite shown so much promise when he's been getting some game time in previous weeks. What does this boy need to do to show that he's good enough?
I think Dom Thomas is a really interesting one, Andrew. It's strange because he keeps putting him on when we seem to be having our backs against the wall. What he should be doing is starting him, in my opinion. I mean, the boy's definitely got talent. He came on and he's changed some of the games that he's came on in, some of the other games that he's just been put on far too late. And I think they actually gave him a bit more time than he usually has on Saturday. And I just think the game was against him, to be honest. It wasn't a good game. It didn't suit him. But I also think with players like Dom Thomas, I can understand what Barakoff is maybe trying to do. He maybe doesn't want to put him in and all the fans to have their hopes and their expectations placed in such a young boy, you know, who's not had many, not had much first team experience, and who is still young, you know, he is still probably naive when it comes to the game. I think that he'll probably go on and be a very, very good player, and hopefully we can tie him up in a new deal and potentially make money for him in a few years, and he'll make a big difference to the squad. But he needs to either give him more of a chance, or he's going to end up ruining his confidence, or he needs to be very careful with it, because, as I say, you don't want the fans placing all their expectations on a player that is still young. I can understand what he done on Saturday. He gave him a wee bit more chance. The one that really puzzled me was when he brought on Lionel Ainsworth ahead of him at Ross County. I just couldn't understand that at all. I'm a fan of Lionel Ainsworth, but I think he's got the ability there, has he got the right attitude at this moment in time? And for me, there's a lot of players out there that were questioning their fight and their desire. And it shouldn't just be about their fight and desire for the club. It should also be their fight and desire for the fans that are going to play, and also for them getting a new deal at the end of the season, whether that's for Motherwell or that's for a club elsewhere. Surely these players want to put themselves in the shop window, or they want to be looking to impress people out there. Because there's a lot of players out of contract, and if they keep playing the way they are, quite simply, they're not going to get a deal at Motherwell, and the chances are they might not get a deal elsewhere.
Just on the Dom Thomas point as well, I mean, you're saying about the, you know, you can understand why he wouldn't start them, and I agree. You know, when you bring in young players, you need to nurture them, you need to be wary that they're probably going to be a bit fragile with their mentality and things like that. But that extends to substitute appearances as well. If you start a player like Thomas, or if you choose not to start a player like Thomas because you want to protect him and protect his confidence, then it then doesn't make much sense to throw him on when we're losing, you know, trailing a game 1-0, and then suddenly there's more pressure on them and more expectation on him, because then he becomes the potential game changer, and then there's more expectation on him to come into a game and change it around rather than just being one of 11 players who started the game.
I just
want to say as well, I was going to say the exact same thing as yourself there, Jay. I think me and you spoke about it on the way up to Firth Park again on Saturday. We can see what he's trying to do, at least, you know, if he's trying to just sort of, you know, ease him in. But I think, to be honest with you, it's if he's shown himself as being, you know, the most willing, probably the most creative as well, so for what we've seen him anyway, it's time we stuck him in there for the start, if we have to.
Well, the thing is as well, I know there will be its own pressures with playing him, but I think the fans are a bit more understanding when it comes to the young players as well. I don't think there's many ways that he'll manage to play him out of position. He might trump me in that one and manage to play him in goals or something like that, but I think they would get right behind Dom Thomas, and that'd be a confidence boost. Even when his head's dropped a wee bit, the fans will be able to pick him up. The other thing from Saturday, he brought Lionel Ainsworth on and played him in the same flank for a stage before eventually swapping them round. It just seems like a scattergun approach again from Barraclough, and that's how he seems to select his team as well.
I think it's an interesting one because it's very, very easy to point the finger at Barraclough, and his performances and his results clearly are a sign that he's not done a very good job since he came in. But I think that the problem started long before Barraclough came in. And I think that they need to be nipped in the bud as well. I mean, he's inherited a sinking ship more than anything else. For me, you can't criticise McCall too much. What a fantastic job he done. Don't think any Motherwell fan would argue with that. But leaving your team and saying that you can't take them any further, you think they're on their way down, I mean, that must have shattered some of the players' confidence as well.
I do agree. I think that, you know, when it's the red mist descends on some fans, it's easy to sort of underestimate the job that Barraclough has been given, because, you know, McCall left us in a bit of a mess. But for me, I mean, I had concerns with Barraclough before Saturday. I remember we were in the pub beforehand, and I was saying my first concern was the fact that, well, my main concern is the fact that I don't think he knows how to adapt. I think that's his biggest problem at the moment. I got the impression, when you listen to him speak, whether he's talking about training or scouting or bringing in young players or whatever it is, he seems to me like one of these sort of long-term managers in that, you know, he's a manager who comes into a club and sees it as a bit of a project and probably has a vision for where he wants Motherwell to be in 2 or 3 years. And I think that's probably backed up by when Flo was on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he said that the board were particularly impressed by Barraclough's vision. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's probably the kind of manager that a team like Motherwell do need long term. When you compare that to McCall did a really good job, but his philosophy was a lot more short term. That may be because it had to be, because he was having to rebuild the side every summer. But McCall's performance as manager was basically, you know, rebuild a side in the summer, then go into each game looking to win it, and then, you know, that was it. And obviously it reaped its benefits because you ended up having successful seasons. There was a few disadvantages, one being that young players weren't brought through because there was no sort of long-term strategy in that regard, and the other disadvantage being that when it didn't work, you know, he was quick to realise that he couldn't turn it round. The problem is that if you're going to go for a long-term approach, you do it at the summer, or you do it when you are in a safe position. My worry is that, you know, regardless of whether he's a good manager or not, I think we've appointed a long-term manager, or a manager who wants to come in and slowly but surely, you know, tinker with things and you know, give a couple of young players a go and maybe try that player there or try that player here without really adapting to what's going on at the moment. And I think we've made the wrong appointment, or we've made an appointment at completely the wrong time. We needed somebody to come in, kick arses, you know, make us hard to beat, grind out results. And Barraclough is not able to adapt to that. It doesn't appear as though he is prepared to make us hard to beat and to make us rigid and organised. It looks as though he has his philosophy and he will stick to it. And unfortunately, if he does, we're going down.
Moving it along just to move the topic on, we'll keep it on Barraclough, but just a kind of different direction. Derek, is he the man for the job? Do you believe he's still got it in him to turn this around? Because we can't kid ourselves, the situation is pretty drastic. We're bottom of the league, and by my reckoning, we're a dead cert for the championship if things don't improve very quickly.
I think for me, Andy, in my opinion, the reaction on message boards, on Facebook, on Twitter, on your usual social networking sites, it's just been a wee bit premature. I can understand why people disagree with me, because the results, as you say, he's picked up, what is it, 1.23 or so. People disagree with that, but it's premature. I mean, we've got some very, very important home games coming up, which should be winnable. I mean, going in their current form, they're not winnable, but they should be winnable. And for me, I just think he needs a wee bit more time before the fans start getting on his back. It was a real shock for me on Saturday when he brought on Lionel Ainsworth, and there was some Motherwell fans in the East Stand were booing the player onto the park. I mean, that is not the attitude that we should be having at the moment. And whether we think that we might go down or we think we might stay up, we need to support the team. And the reaction online has been nothing short of an absolute disgrace. You can't be calling for a manager's head in the middle of a relegation battle, because it's just not the right time for it. Will he keep us up? I don't know. What you have to think of is, will we turn it round? You mentioned it earlier, every week we're turning up to Fir Park, and we're turning up to an away ground, and we're thinking this could be the week. Slowly but surely everybody's losing confidence in that, and we're starting to see the reality setting in. Ross County, I think for me, will stay up. They have done for the past few years, because every single year in January their chairman puts his money in his pocket and makes sure that he buys to stay up, and they seem to be bringing in some decent players. St Mirren haven't they won at home all season? And for me, that's a big, big positive. I mean, that must really be playing in their confidence just as much as it is us. Motherwell getting beat every week, it must be playing in their confidence. But I think our real worry is St Mirren. I don't think we will go down automatically. I think it'll be St Mirren. I think we might go down via a playoff. If we fall into the playoffs, I have no confidence he's beating Rangers or Hibs.
Jay, what about yourself? I know that you've already said that you've been kind of puzzled by the whole situation and what to think about it. The place has seemed flat for so long, and there's not been any sort of new manager bounce with Barraclough, has there?
No, I mean, again, I agree with Derek on certain points. I mean, and of course, if you turn up at Fir Park, you should be supporting the team. If you think Barraclough's the worst football manager there's ever been in the world, then that's fine. But, you know, it's counterproductive to, you know, be shouting at players and booing players. I mean, I've made no secret of the fact that I would rather never see Ainsworth in a Motherwell jersey again. He's burned his bridges with me as far as I'm concerned, but I certainly would never boo him onto the park. That just seems utter madness. And, you know, if you're talking about fragile confidence and that kind of thing, then booing your own players and abusing your own players is just an absolute nonsense. And the same goes for talk. You know, I saw mentions about demos outside the ground and all that next week if we don't win. You know, there's no need for that at the moment, because we are in a situation where if we give up, if we decide that, you know, we're just going to start abusing players and chanting about getting the manager out, then we're already down. Because why should we expect the players to turn around and put the effort in and get a bit of confidence if we're not, you know, interested in supporting them? But I mean, it's just so hard to pick any positives. That's where I'm struggling. I think I kind of change my opinion every hour or so. Not that I think that Barraclough is the man, or I have much faith in it. But I think that it is slightly too early. I think if you give a manager the chance to bring in signings during the January transfer window, you don't then get rid of them 2 weeks later. I think the players do need time to settle. I think there needs to be a direction, though. That's my problem. I just can't pinpoint where the positives are, where the progress is. There doesn't seem to be any. And there's going to have to be a time between now and the end of the season, if things keep going the way they are, that we realise that it's beyond the point of no return with Barraclough. And it is just a matter of personal opinion when that point is. There's a lot of fans who think that that's it, gone. For me, I mean, I watch other clubs, be them in England or Scotland, sack managers quite early on, and when you're a neutral and you're not, you know, you're unbiased, you can kind of look at it and go, oh, well, they were quite hasty there. They should have been given a chance. So I'm trying to keep the same mentality as far as our own manager goes. Plus, he's a likeable guy. I mean, that makes it, you know, doubly difficult, because you want him to do well, not just because he's in charge of your football team, but because he seems like a likeable guy. And Flo was in the podcast talking about how much work he puts in and all that kind of thing. So you want him to succeed. But when you sit down and you analyse everything he's done since he got there, I can't think of one positive. I mean, the only positive that I would have said was that he'd started to introduce Dom Thomas into the team. And now that seems to have been scrapped in favour of these other wingers he's brought in. So, you know, I'm of the opinion that it is too early to sack him. But I'm also of the opinion that I just don't think he's going to possibly turn it round, which obviously, you know, it doesn't put me in a great position with whether we should sack him now or not.
No, I get that, to be honest, though, because I weighed it up today and I tried to write it down in as much sense of how we managed to get from second in the league less than a year ago to where we are just now. And the thing is, it possibly is too soon to sack Barraclough, but at the same time, I don't think we'll have enough time if we don't sack him just now to recover. And that's, it is a wee bit kind of trigger happy, but at the same time, I think we have to.
Yeah, no, I agree entirely. That's it's almost like an angel devil on each shoulder kind of scenario. You know, on the one hand, you're going, well, you know, if you look at it logically, he's still relatively new to the job. He's only starting to make his, you know, he's stamping the team and all that kind of thing. But on the flip side, you need to see progress. If you're bottom of the league, you still want to see fight in the team. You want to maybe be creating chances. And I think I saw someone on Steelman Online, I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm just throwing it out there, that we had something like 19 shots on target in the last 10 games. I mean, that's incredible. That's utterly, utterly incredible. If true, it might be nonsense, but, you know, when you think about it, it doesn't sound too far off the mark. So it's so hard to, like, you know, it's so hard to find anything, even if you want to be. You might be the most happy, clappy fan in the world, but what are the positives? It's so hard to pinpoint any.
I think for me, Jay, you can talk about sacking the manager all you want, and you can, I mean, fans can get in a bit of an uproar and say if it will be too late if we don't do it just now. But who would you get in? Where will we get this money to pay him off? You know, it's...
Just on that point, I mean, like, firstly, I think it's important to say I don't expect him to be sacked. I think I've said for a few weeks now that I don't, regardless of the way the rest of the season goes, I fully expect him to be kept on at the end of the season. Now, John Berry was on as a guest a few weeks ago, and he made an excellent point when he pointed out that nobody knows what his contract situation is. And as far as I'm aware, that still is the case, unless somebody else knows something I don't. So we're in a sort of situation at the moment where you don't even know how much it would cost the club to get rid of him. But I should point out, my point is whether or not I've lost faith in him being able to turn it round, and I think I have. I don't expect him to turn it round. In terms of shouting about getting the manager out, I don't see the point in that. The board will do what they want to do. But, you know, I don't think it's unexpected either. If you go back to our first few podcasts, I think all three of us were very much of the opinion that Barraclough was not the right man for the job. All three of us were very much behind Van der Gag. I think the point was made on the podcast by one of us that if Van der Gag was to come in and, you know, disaster struck and things didn't turn around, then at least he'd be getting a bit more time from the fans because he had that, you know, affinity with the club and he was a bit of a cult hero. So basically everything we spoke about on the podcast those first few weeks is coming to fruition, and it's not nice to say, but you know,
I think it was Spara brought up those podcasts as well about how, you know, an option could be to bring in someone who could steady the ship, get us to the end of the season, and then go for a more long-term appointment. And from what I was saying earlier about how Barraclough seems to be one of these more long-term philosophy managers, then maybe that would have worked. You know, bring someone in, keep him up, keep us up, then bring in Barraclough and see what he can do when he's got no pressure on him and he can tinker away and he can try Craig Moore at midfield. But at the end of the day, when you're heading down, dropping out of the top division without a trace or without, you know, the slightest glimmer of hope, then doing things like that aren't going to keep you up. You know, persistent with John Sutton up front himself isn't working. You know, Craig Moore is not a midfielder, so it's so hard to even recognise where these changes are going to come. So as much as I agree, I'm not going to start shouting about sacking the manager. It's not something I tend to do. It's the business of the club, but I just don't have any faith in him whatsoever now.
Do you think, Buster, it might be the case that Barraclough slightly underestimated Scottish football as well? We've discussed the quality of his signings as early doors for many of them, but a few of them certainly don't seem to be the level required. I even look at Lagan's sending off against St Johnston. He looked so, so slow, and it just kind of concerns me that these guys aren't up to the pace of the game, and they had to hit the ground running. They've not managed to do that. It's for a manager that doesn't have any prior experience of working in the Scottish game, I just think it was a really massive risk appointing him to guide us towards safety.
I think you're possibly right there. He may have underestimated it a bit. As you say, with Straker and Lang, Lang, whatever his name is, the two of them look. Well, Straker is obviously doesn't look like a football player, but Lang looks awful as well, to be honest with you. He looks a bit of a bomb scare. I think that if Johnson, you know, Thomas, the other Thomas, I think if they've got a bit of pace about them, as I've said before, if the standard of Scottish football, if you've got a bit of pace about you, you can get in behind. You know, it worked well for Ainsworth and it worked well for Humphrey before him, so they guys could still, you know, end up doing pretty well for us. I've not had a chance yet to read your blog that you put up today because I was just in for work there, mate, but if it's anything along the lines of what you just says there, it's too early to sack Barraclough, I agree, but if we leave it any longer it could be too late. Now, and again, I'm not necessarily shouting for him to get the sack. I don't actually think, I definitely don't think he'll get the sack, to be honest with you. His contract situation is a kind of weird one that we've not heard anything. I think you'll probably find that, you know, if we do totally bomb, you know, don't win another game or something, he's maybe going to have some sort of clause in there that lets us let him go. Although, having said that as well, the amount of, you know, bringing in, neither, in my opinion, for example, Kerry Black was paid off. That wouldn't have happened if Les Hutchinson wasn't the man, wasn't the owner now. So I think Hutchinson maybe been putting a wee bit of money in the back there, especially with the scouting system that apparently they're setting up and things like that as well. So if they're doing all this on the back of Barraclough and his sort of, you know, maybe recommendations and things like that, it'll be interesting to see how and what they can do if we are. You know, if we are at the bottom of the league, don't win another game, do we get rid of him? Does that mean we then have to start digging up for, you know, the scouting system, the assistant manager, things like that again? And it's been said before as well, who would you even bring in? There's got to be someone. If the worst comes to the worst and we lose the next two games, there's got to be people in the background that Motherwell looking at bringing in somebody in just now, so that if we does lose the next two games, he's got somebody there and ready to go. And I don't believe, obviously, you know, that's the way that they would work at Motherwell, to be fair. You know, to give them a wee bit of credit for their loyalty and things like that as well. But
yeah, they're not notoriously trigger happy, are they? But at the same time, and I know finances comes into it as well, but is the risk of relegation and the financial catastrophe that would be, surely that's more of a risk than keeping a manager, for me, that seems to be just guiding us straight towards the Championship.
I agree, to be honest with you. It's, you know, it's a bit of a running joke, if you want, even amongst ourselves, that it'll be good to go to Queen of the South, and Stranraer are winning League One, so it'll be good if they come up again. You know, we can get a wee jolly down there on the train, cargo next to the river like the last time we were at Queen of the South. You know, it's all right to think it'll be a good day, and you know, it will be a good day, but it's one of those things where, as you say, budgets would have to be cut. They're going to be cut drastically anyway, as far as we're aware, but they would have to be, you know, divided by 10 by that point. And, you know, if we do go down, I don't think you would see us in a position to come back into this league for at least 5 years.
We'll move on to Saturday's game against Inverness. Second of three consecutive home games. Derek, it's a tough one. Inverness have got a very good record at Fir Park. They've had a fantastic season under John Hughes, who, I must say, if Hughes had been linked to the Motherwell job round about the time Stuart McCall got it, I think there would have been a few noses turned up, but it's hard to argue that Hughes has done a fantastic job at Inverness. Maybe well suited to the club, it has to be said, but I can't see anything but a defeat. I don't know if you're of any different mindset.
I think I'm being a bit more of a glass half full person here, but we need to try and search for some positives here. We've mentioned earlier that maybe the senior players at the club should be doing more. I think one of the positives that we have to take is the one game that I think in Barraclough's 10 on charge, where we did look as if we were showing a bit of fight and a bit of desire, was Dundee United away, where we didn't, in my opinion, deserve to get beat the way that we did. And I think the main reason for that was because Stephen Pearson came in and he played absolutely fantastic. He done a really, really good job there, and then unfortunately, I think it was he got a cracked rib or a broken rib, and he's been out since. Now, as far as I'm aware, Pearson will be back on Saturday. Surely he can give the younger players a lift, he can give the people around them a lift, he can get a wee bit of creativity we're missing, and he can try and create some chances. From what I've seen, he looks as if he's keen to go forward and try and create goals as well. I mean, like I said earlier with Don Thomas, you can't put all your hope in one player, but my real hope is that Pearson can make a difference to this side in the next couple of weeks.
Well, Sparra and Jay, yous were in the great man's presence on Saturday, were yous no?
Very briefly, he nearly ran me over.
How was his rib? Did you give him a wee nudge?
He didn't really talk to us, to be honest. I think it was for the best that he didn't speak to any professional footballer.
The state used to were in, it was probably a bit a good idea, right?
Speak for yourself, mate. Speak for yourself.
I was in bed at that point.
But it will be a difficult one. It's always a strange game when Inverness or Ross County come to Fir Park as well. It never attracts much of a crowd. I don't think if they were even to put a pricing initiative in ahead of the game on Saturday that it would make a drastic difference to the crowd, given that quite a lot of people, I think, feel let down by the way the club are performing at the moment. Or should I say, not the club, the way the team are performing on the park at the moment.
I agree. To be honest with you as well, completely different point, but pricing initiatives and things like that as well, they clearly don't work for us anyway. At best, because of our poor form, you'd probably get maybe 30 more Inverness fans came down. You mentioned, you know, John Hughes was appointed, to be honest, we asked off at the time, and to be fair again, they took a few tankings at first, but, you know, he seems to have managed to turn it around and doing well. So, you know, maybe there's something that we could look at there and see what's what. In regards to the game and the result, you know, Dee's saying we have to try and look and be positive, but, you know, I've done that for the last 10 weeks, barring last week, and it's not worked. So I don't know. It's no one I can see is getting any points in. I think the only positive of that for me is that I'm working on Saturday, so I won't be there.
Derek, any plans for... I know the boys had put a wee statement out and tried to get everyone right behind the team. It must be very difficult when things are so difficult and the team really need to give the fans a wee bit more in terms of to get them galvanised and to get them up for the game. It's all right going along and getting right behind the team, but you need something to back, don't you?
Oh, you definitely do, Sparra. on Saturday, I thought that the attendance wasn't up, judging what they announced, but certainly where I was in the East Stand, that end section there was almost packed out, you know, and the fans had turned up in their numbers, and they were all quite vocal for the first, you know, half hour, and it seemed as if they were really, really getting behind the team, and there was that sense that, you know, maybe we can turn the corner here, maybe we can turn this round, and then as soon as that first goal went in, it killed all hope, it killed all atmosphere. You know, that's when the boos started coming out and the comments, the off-the-cuff comments, slating the players and the likes. And I mentioned it earlier, we need to try and support the team, but you are absolutely spot on in the fact that the players need to give us something to cheer about. They need to get the players, they need to get the fans off their seats. They need a wee bit of excitement. Where's it going to come from? And that's the real problem. I think for speaking to the boys that I go to the football with week in, week out, we want to keep trying to cheer on the team. You want to keep trying to do, you know, your displays and your banners and waving your flags. But as the weeks go on and the weeks go on, it's becoming increasingly harder. And I heard Tam Cowan on BBC Scotland after the Ross County game, and he made an interesting point. He says that, I suppose that the players maybe take it for granted, you know, that wee band of fans go with the drum all over the country and they'll usually sing and jump about regardless of what the scoreline is. And it's maybe a bit of a reality when you realise that, you know, that backing's beginning to fall away as well. And it's certainly not a good place to be in. It's not a good place to be standing just now.
Guys, I think that's basically all we've got time for this week. Wow, I'm pretty depressed, to be perfectly honest. Do you want to even come back next week, or do you want to just jack it here?
Ah, no, we'll be back and we'll just get some Valium set up beforehand.
Oh, yeah. Some of what Ian Barakoff's on, he's always smiling and happy.
Well, we have been approached by a representative of Les Hutchison as well about a future podcast, so I think we'll maybe leave that for a few weeks yet, but I think he'll possibly want to as well. You've been listening to the By the Min MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday.
Until then, cheers.